We've come to the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. This morning our text is found in verse 11, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he said, "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" And so the subject matter this morning is true riches. And Jesus began talking to his disciples at the beginning of the chapter, telling them a story. The story of a rich man who had a steward who was in charge of his goods. And it was reported to him that his steward had been misusing his master's goods, perhaps embezzling. And so his master came to him and said, "Get the books in order, you're fired." So, realizing that he was soon to be out of a job, he thought, "What shall I do? I am not physically capable of going out and doing manual labor. And I'm too proud to beg. What shall I do? I'm not going to have a job. What shall I do?" And then he hit on this crooked idea. He said, "I know what I'll do. I will call in all of my master's creditors, and I will lower all of their bills so that when I have to leave this job, they will owe me some favors." So he began to call in the creditors, and to the first he said, "How much does your bill say that you owe my master?" And the fellow said, "I owe him 100 measures of oil." He said, "Here, let me write 50. And he reduced the bill in half. Next fellow came in, he said, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, "I owe him 100 measures of wheat." He said, "Here, let me write 80. And he cut it down 20%. And thus he went through and cut down the bills that were owed to his master. He figured that he would use his present position to set himself up for the future. "When I'm out of a job next week, I can come back to these people and they owe me a favor. They'll have to help me out when I ask for it," because he used his present position to set himself up for the future. Now, many people have great difficulty with this story at this particular juncture, because Jesus said the Lord of that servant commended him because he had done wisely. Now, notice, he wasn't commended because he had done honestly. The guy was a crook, but he became a worse crook. But it was shrewd. And he was really commended because of his shrewdness. And Jesus, in commenting on the story, said, "For the children of this world in this generation are wiser than the children of light." How so? Because he had enough sense to use his present position to set himself up for what he knew was coming in the future. You know that your time here on this earth is limited. You know that one day you are going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. But there are so many of you that are making absolutely no provision at all for your future, your eternal future. Some of you who are well off here on earth will find yourselves paupers in heaven. What we have has been entrusted to us by God. And God has entrusted to each of us a certain amount. We are then responsible to God to use what God has entrusted to us for eternal things rather than to squander it on ourselves. Here was a servant who was squandering his master's goods upon himself, but when he realized that, hey, I'm going to be out of here pretty quick, he then began to use what the master had given to him to set himself up for the future that he knew was coming. Let us say that you have 50 years left in which to enjoy the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. But if you use those things only for your own self, and you do not take into consideration the kingdom of God and the eternal future, though you may be well off now, you'll find yourself at the bottom of the ladder there. You'll spend eternity destitute. Now, don't get me wrong. Let me quickly assure you that the poorest man in heaven is far better off than the richest man in hell. But the moral of this story that Jesus gave to his disciples is that they were stewards of God's goods, things that God had entrusted into their keeping, and they were responsible to God to use it wisely. God will one day call on each of us to give an accounting of how we have used the things that God has placed at our disposal. Now, if you are wise, you will use these things that God has entrusted to you for the kingdom of God's sake, so that when that day comes when you leave this earth, you will be received into the everlasting habitations. So Jesus then sort of applied the story. He said to his disciples, make use of the unrighteousness of mammon. Mammon is money. The god mammon was the god of money. Those who worshiped money were worshiping mammon. Jesus said, make use of the unrighteousness of money, that when you fail, you might be received into the everlasting habitations. Basically, Jesus is saying that the dollar is not current in heaven. It's a very strange feeling to be in a foreign country and to have only dollar bills in your pocket. And to say, be hungry. And there's a restaurant there, and maybe you're in Rome, and nice pizza there in the window, and you think, oh, would I love to have a slice of pizza. I sort of said pizza, but in there it's square in Rome. But, oh, would I like to have a slice of pizza and a Coke, you know. But all I've got is dollar bills. And dollar bills are not current in Rome. You need the lire. And you may have $1,000 in your pocket, but not be able to buy a slice of pizza because it's not currency in Rome. And it's always a weird feeling. I've been in the place where I've been in a foreign country, and I haven't had a chance to go to the bank yet and exchange to the currency of that country. And we want to stop by the store and get a loaf of bread and a bottle of milk. You can't do it. All you've got is American dollars, and they're not current in that land. Gold is not the currency of heaven. They use it for asphalt up there. You have to have that which is current in the land. When I know I'm going to travel to a foreign country, If I know that I'm going to arrive on the weekend when the banks are closed, I'll always go over here to the Exchange Bank in South Coast Plaza, and I'll change some of my dollars for the currency of the country where I'm going so that when I get there, if I am wanting to buy a carton of milk or something, I'm able to do it and not have to just be deprived because I don't have the currency of the land. When you arrive in heaven, you'll find that there is no bank of exchange in heaven. 2 seconds after you're dead, you will have lost control over all of your assets. Well, 1 second. You'll have lost control of all of your assets. The time to make the exchange for the currency of heaven, Jesus is saying to his disciples, is now. Make use of that which God has entrusted to you now. Because when you get to heaven, you'll not be able to have any further control, and there'll be no exchange up there. Jesus then said to his disciples, "For if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" The true riches are the eternal riches, the spiritual riches of heaven. And Jesus here is drawing a contrast between false riches and true riches. The false riches are the riches of this world. They are measured in bank accounts and they are measured in material possessions. But they are false riches. I read of a prospector who was up in the Panamint Range, out there in the Mojave Desert, looking for gold. And as he was coming out with two large sacks, trying to walk out from the strike that he had made, trying to carry these two sacks was just too much exertion. He had used up all of his water. His body began to dehydrate. He was overcome by heat prostration. And as he just lay there on the ground dying, he took out his pencil and he scribbled on a piece of paper, "I died rich." Those that discovered his body opened up the sacks that he was carrying out, and they were filled with fool's gold, iron pyrite, false riches. He only thought he died rich. There may be some of you that are thinking, "I want to die rich." But when you get to heaven, you'll find out it was false riches. Jesus spoke about the true riches, which are the heavenly, eternal riches. Jesus told us not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust can corrupt, where thieves can break through and steal, but lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. There are the true riches. And he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. True riches are not measured by how much you have in your local bank account, but how much you've deposited in the heavenly account. Now, it's interesting that God has a very fascinating way of accounting the deposits that are made. He never accounts them because of the amount that is made. You remember how that Jesus and his disciples were standing in the temple and they were watching the people as they were dropping their offering there in the temple box. And these rich people were coming along with a lot of pomp and ceremony, and they were making a big deal out of their great gifts, and everybody said, "Ooh, wow, oh, wow." And one little lady just sort of slipped in and sort of passed by real quick and dropped in a mite and hurried on, a mite which is just about a half of a cent. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Did you see that little lady?" He said, "I say unto you, she gave more than all of the rest of those people. Because they all gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her very sustenance. She gave all that she had." So in the heavenly accounting scheme, what she deposited was more than all of the rest because of what it cost her to give. James said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor in this world yet rich in faith, that they might be the heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those that love him?" This heavenly kingdom, those that will be rich there are those who are rich in faith, those who are rich in the things of the Spirit. The church of Laodicea was saying concerning itself, "We're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing." But Jesus said of them, "You are poor. You are wretched. You are miserable. You are blind to the reality." And then Jesus gave the bottom line when he said, "You cannot serve God and mammon," the God of money. He said, "No man can serve two masters." And the key word is serve. You might have two masters, you can't serve them. Your loyalties will ultimately be drawn to one or the other. There'll come a time when you'll have to make a choice between serving God or serving mammon. Now, there are many people who have been blessed of God, and as the result of those blessings have turned to God in thanksgiving and devoted their lives to him. But there are others whose riches have turned them away from God. And ultimately, mammon began to control. Now, money in itself is not evil. It's not evil to have money. Money is immoral. Neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it, and it's what your attitude is towards it. The Bible said it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And once you have submitted your life to be ruled by money, you'll find that you've embarked upon a life of frustration because you will never have enough. Paul said, "Godliness with contentment." Now that's really being rich. He said, "I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content." Contentment is the missing word from the people who are serving mammon. They'll never find contentment in the material things of this world. It will always be something better, something bigger, something greater. There's never the contentment. There's never that place where you can say, "Ah, I am so content. I really don't need anything else." But godliness with that kind of contentment, that's great gain. Now, Luke tells us that though Jesus was talking to his disciples, there were some Pharisees who were standing there listening to what he was saying, and they were covetous. And when they heard Jesus saying these things, they began to deride him. they didn't like to hear him talk about these kinds of things. And there are people today who don't like to hear talk on these kind of things. Well, I'll go you one better. I don't like to talk about them. You don't know how hard it is for me to teach this lesson this morning. Because I believe that it is a shame and disgrace the way some people beg and plead for people to give to the Lord and for the work of the kingdom of God. And so many times those that are begging and pleading are not really so interested in the kingdom of God as they are their own kingdom. And so I've become paranoid about talking about money in church because of the horrible abuses. I have what the psychologists would call an approach avoidance conflict that goes on inside. I know that it is necessary to teach the whole counsel of God. That's why I go through the whole Bible. But I hate to teach on the subject of money. But because I feel accountable to God for you, because he's called me to teach his word, and I know that one day I'll have to give an account to God for the things that he has entrusted to me, which are, of course, the things of the Word of God, have been entrusted to me to share with others. And because I'll have to give an account to God, it's a subject that, though I hate, I have to broach every once in a while when we get to it. You see, I don't want you to arrive in heaven and realize that you're a pauper. You have nothing. You're totally destitute. And then turn to me and say, Chuck, why didn't you tell us, man? I've got to spend all eternity now in this shack. Man, you should have seen my place down there, you know. You see, I don't want you throughout all eternity giving me dirty looks. I wouldn't appreciate that. Every time you see me, you just say, you didn't tell me, man. When you get to heaven and you see me, I want you to smile. So, I've told you. The ball is in your court. I'm free now. You do with it what you want. I'm free. I've at least told you. And bared my soul in giving you the word of God. You won't hear it again until many years from now when we get back to Malachi, but I've done it. Each one of you will have to determine whether or not you want to place your value on true riches or false riches. The false riches of the material world in which we live are the true riches of the kingdom of God. The one you'll be able to enjoy for maybe 50 years, the other you will enjoy forever. Your choice. You do with it what you please. Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving to those things that are eternal, exchanging now that which you've entrusted to us for things that will bring eternal dividends. And Lord, we want to be faithful to that which you've placed in our keeping, that when you come, we might be able to give back to you that which was entrusted, plus much more, because we have used it wisely for the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, give to us the right view of what our true riches. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? Now, as a general rule, in the messages that I give, there's some kind of a call to a commitment afterwards. But I'm not going to call you to make a commitment. That's something that's in your heart. You just determine what you're going to do with it, and may God bless you. And may you go in the love of God and in the peace of God. And if this is your first Sunday here at Calvary, don't go away, please. Say, oh, all you did was talk about money. Come back for the next 10 years, and you won't hear the subject mentioned again. But just know the pastor was delivering his soul. I've got to stand before God one day and give an accounting. And so now I feel that I can. And if I don't make it to get around to it for another 10 years, at least I've done it. And so you know where you are. I know where I am. And let's just, follow the Lord above all things.